And before you say, oh my God, I said the same thing the first time. And Brother Harpole said a few things to me this time that kind of got in my spirit. And I'm excited. So we'll present some of that to you here in the future. If I walk by you and I smell odd, I have a mixture of Bengay and cologne. And I'm just not certain how those two go together. But I got a crimp in my neck that I have not been able to get rid of for 2 days. And, oh, excuse me 1 second. I'm sorry. Sorry, Brother Kenny. I can preach now. So anyway. Now that I knew it was a little bright in here today. Just couldn't figure out. It's good to see all of you. When I say I thank God for our church, I love our church. I love every person. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you bring. I love what God is doing. And it's concrete. It's resolute. It's not fluid. Not going to change. We're going to continue to build in a direction that the Lord is taking us, and spiritually, physically, all that. I'm just so excited. And I'm just so thankful. We had a great leadership meeting this weekend as our yearly planning. And man, we come out of that just such a strong spirit of unity. And we hashed some things out in there, and that's okay. But such a strong spirit of unity. Camaraderie, and I just cannot wait to see what God just continues to do. Amen. I'm going to do my best to wade through this message today and to relay it as I have felt it relayed to me. I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And I'm going to read the first two verses. We'll pray. Did we pray yet? We didn't. Who's praying? Pastor Klein, would you pray for us when we get ready? Genesis 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." I want to preach to you, don't try to get ahead of me, because you won't make it, on the topic, thou shalt not. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us. Pastor Klein, would you pray?
Lord Jesus, God, this morning as we come unto your throne, we thank you, Lord, right now for your presence that is in this house. God, we ask you to settle into this place, Lord Jesus. Begin to speak to hearts, speak to the minds, and speak to our ears, Lord, that we are attentive to the word that is about to flow forth from our pastor. Lord, we ask you to anoint his lips, Lord. Take a coal from the altar, Lord. Allow him to speak as the oracles of God, Lord, that can stir our souls and give us a desire to draw closer to you, Lord. We do all of this because of you, and we appreciate your presence that is in this place. Speak in this place, God, this morning, and help us to respond to your word. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Before I go on, I just have to say, love the choir. Choir's just doing a great job. They're growing. But I'm going to be a little partial, and I just think my wife sings like an angel. So, and if you don't, oh well, I'm going to have Brother Kenny put laxative in your next burrito. You're going to have to follow me to try and follow along with me. It may seem a bit complex at times, but just hang tight with me. So again, to quickly recap, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The word dress has two main connotations to it. The first one is to cultivate, to work, or to tend to. The second one literally means to enslave or to keep into bondage. To keep, it means to guard, to protect, or to attend to. So God was saying to Adam, enslave yourself and protect this garden that I've given you. Now, I'll try to make some more sense of that as we go on. He says, I've given you this beautiful garden, and I'm giving you authority over the garden to attend to it and to take care of what I've given you. God has given all of us something to make ourselves servant to. When we think of life, this life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, we think career, home, picket fence, children, cat, dog, for some of you lucky folks, hot tub. But that's not what God was talking about at all. Not even close. We've made life what we think it should be. God made life what he wanted it to be in the garden. So when you think about this, dress it, keep it, enslave yourself, keep yourself in bondage to guard, protect. Think of your family. We are to protect our families, our home. We are to attend to them. Our children, we are to protect our children, to attend to them. It's inherent. God put that protection in us from the very beginning. That's why men are so protective over their families. God put it in us. It is our divine call by our nature. Adam failed to guard and to protect his wife from the serpent. It wasn't long before he wasn't doing what God called him and instructed him to do. And verse 16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God, let me back up for one moment. And I don't mean this to sound cruel, but I'm going to say it. Don't celebrate your child buying a new car, and I'm not on Facebook hardly at all anymore, so if you posted something, I have no clue. But don't celebrate your child buying a new car if they're not serving God. You're not protecting and keeping them. So the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This struck me when the Lord talked to me about this a couple weeks ago. God gave Adam complete dominion and authority in the garden. But he also put something there that he said you can't touch. Why? Well, first of all, absolute power absolutely corrupts. But just hang with me. So God said, on one hand, I'm giving you dominion and authority. But I need you to understand that dominion and authority doesn't mean you can do whatever and anything that you want. So I'm going to put something there as a reminder that you can't just touch anything and take anything that you want. So he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Isn't that interesting? I know we've talked about this a lot over time. But he brought them to Adam. God made them. And then he gave them to Adam and said, here, what do you think we should call them? And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God didn't argue with him. God didn't say, I don't like that name. I'm not really sure about that. Giraffe? I mean, come on. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. So God gave Adam complete authority over all animals, over the entire garden. The Lord, years ago, I've talked to you about this briefly, but the Lord spoke to me about this topic of naming. And the Lord said, he said, that which we have authority over, we name. Now watch. You name your children or does somebody else? What would you do if you said, I want to call him Jerome? And somebody else said, no, call him Kenny. I don't like Kenny. I like Jerome. But I want you to call him. You why? This is my child. Nobody ever says God's child. It's my child. You can't tell me what to name my child. Nobody here, I mean, there may be one of you, but traditionally nobody here lets somebody else name their children. Why? Because it's your child. We name, that's why scientists, this hit me when Kevin made a comment years ago about scientists naming the stars. That's when the Lord spoke this to me. Scientists name the stars because mankind thinks we have all of this limitless authority. Who gives you right to name the stars? You didn't put them there. But we have taken that dominion as mankind. That's why God changed the name of great men in the Bible after they became his servants. Because God said, now that you have given me authority in your life, you're mine. And I will call you what I want to. Why? Because that name always carried significance. It carried meaning. Are you with me so far? So God gave Adam authority in that garden over everything but that one thing. Because authority is not telling people what to do. Authority is doing what you're supposed to do, no matter the cost or price. You might associate this with a man by the name of Jesus. He did what he had to do, no matter the cost or the price. That's real authority. That's why true authority is to dress and to keep your garden, to enslave yourself to it, to say, I've made this vow to my spouse, and I will keep it to my death. And I will protect her with my very last breath. And so authority is doing what you're supposed to do, no matter the cost. God put this in us from the beginning. He yoked man and woman together with a bond that should not be broken. And that's why most parents, I say most, would die for their children, to protect them. Because there's something in us that God put there to dress, to enslave myself to make myself responsible no matter the cost, and to keep it, to protect and to preserve. That is what God put in us. So in that authority, you had to have that tree. I've learned that people love to hear yes. They hate to hear no. Kids especially. They love to hear yes, thanks, Dad, I love you. You tell them no, fight's on. Boxing gloves are coming out. Complaints are rolling. Let's fire up the angry, frustrated machine. Because no one likes to hear no. It is not in us. We want to hear what we want to hear. And so God says to Adam, I'm giving this to you. It's yours to attend to. It's yours to yoke yourself to. But there's one thing I'm not giving you authority over. This one tree. Why? You can partake of every other tree. You have authority over every other tree. Now, if you don't think that's authority, then I dare you to walk into somebody's apple orchard and to start picking apples off of their tree. and see what happens. That's theirs. You don't have a right to pick fruit from somebody else's tree. But if it's in your yard, in your garden, you can go pick whatever you want. And so God said, the whole garden's yours, but this one tree in the midst of the garden, that's not yours. Isn't it interesting that it was in the midst of the garden? Just like the tabernacle was in the center of the camp of Israel. That shows you God's dominion and authority is in the middle of everything. And so you have authority, take whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what to eat. I'm not going to tell you what to pick. You do whatever, but this one tree. There's this one you cannot touch no matter what. Why? Because no matter how much authority God gives us in our life, there must be a tree. There must be a tree that we cannot touch. And I'll explain that. Now, as human beings, we're very good at dismissing things we don't want to receive, aren't we? We're very good at eating what we want and spitting out the rest. We're very good at shrugging off that which we disagree with. We become masters at it. We're Americans. We're very good if we don't like what the police have to say, that's a bunch of corrupt cops. Who are you to tell me? I need you to step out of the car. Who are you to tell me? You don't have authority over me. That's what they do. We're very good at dismissing authority all the way around. You don't like the judge, you don't like the law, whatever it might be. We're very good at dismissing the pastor. Well, that's just your opinion. Who are you? You're just another man. We're very good at we don't like church, we just dismiss it. We don't want to go, we don't go. No one can make me go. It's my life. Are you with me? Hang on. I said hang on. We're very good, wives, at dismissing our husbands. We don't like what they have to say. Husbands, we're very good at dismissing our wives. We don't like what they have to say. We're Americans. We're free. We do what we want with our freedom. That's the attitude. That's the stench that doesn't smell so good in the nostrils of God. We're very good at dismissing the Constitution now. It's an old document. Doesn't matter anymore. That's written by the old white men. That's what they say. So it's very easy to dismiss the governing foundation of our nation that is meant to protect our nation and to preserve it and keep it intact. And we're very good now at dismissing the Bible, especially the Old Testament. That's Old Testament for a reason. It's old. Just like men are old. You old people, who are you? All the old people think they got all the answers. It's all old. I'm serious now. That's the spirit of it. That's what Satan has done. We are Americans, and we are very good at dismissing whatever we want to dismiss. Again, let me just put this back in the con. I don't want to come to church. I don't go. I don't answer anybody. Some of y'all, you never call anybody. Why? Because you're not. I don't have to call anybody. I don't have to call you. Who are you? This is my life. I'm being honest now. We don't answer. Many of us, some of us are really good at not answering to our spouses. You just get up and walk out the door. We're ring, ring, honey, where'd you go? I left for a while. Where'd you go? Oh, I want to go on a walk. Well, I went to the store. My wife and I, we never go anywhere without telling each other. Why? You know why? Because God gave her to me to enslave myself to her. It's my obligation, my responsibility to her to be open, to be honest, to communicate. And the same with her. She'll call me all the time. Do you mind if I buy this? I'm not her boss. I tell her all the time, honey, I trust you completely. Buy whatever you want, but I want to make sure you're okay with it. Why? Because she has enslaved herself to me. Because that is what God put in Adam in the garden. So watch, with authority comes responsibility. But our world has migrated from that. The church has migrated from that understanding. And we think just authority is, I'm the boss. When I was in management, I used to hate when people called me the boss. I hated that. I would tell them, don't call me the boss. Don't say boss. I hate that word. It has such a strong, ugly connotation to it. I'm not your boss. And some men, unfortunately, they've kind of ruled their houses that way. And so they want to intimidate. Why? Because when you don't have real authority, you have to kidnap. And some people kidnap their own spouses. They just don't call it kidnapping because you live there together. We kidnap them through fear, through intimidation, because real authority normally has a willing participant. My wife has authority over me, and that's why I always try to communicate with her. And I have authority over her, and that's all biblical, and I'm going to show you, don't worry. Because I've come ready. So as Americans, and I'm going to come back to that too, we're really good at dismissing the things that we don't agree. I don't agree. I don't think that's necessary. We're good at that. We've become professionals. Why? Because we inherently believe that we can partake of any tree. You can't tell me what to eat. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to drink. I've said this so much, you're getting tired of hearing it. It's my body. No, it's not. It's my life. No, it's not. I can do with what I want. No, you can't. You think you can, and you can ultimately, but that won't last through eternity. And forget about eternity. What does it do to you? What did God know about Adam and Eve? What did he know that if you partake of that tree, he knew what was going to happen? They didn't. They couldn't grasp it. So we have complete authority in our own lives. Give me a few minutes to build this, and then we'll launch. People in positions of authority will wrestle with this a lot more. Business owners, you become used to your own schedule. You're the boss. You make the rules. You make the hour. No, I'm being serious. I'm not being mean now. People in authority have a harder time with authority. Because sometimes they wanted to get into position of authority because they don't want anybody else telling them what to do. That's why some people can't work for somebody else. Have you ever noticed when you tried to work for somebody else, everybody else is an idiot. Nobody else knows how to run a company. Everybody else is corrupt, but for some reason with you and your company, everything is just perfectly right. And how dare you tell me I'm corrupt? How dare you? You ever notice that? So people in position of authority have an issue with authority. How about military? Police officers? Politicians? Managers? And we got to throw in just the plain rebellious people too. See, those types of people, the higher the office, the greater the struggle. Because you're put in this place of authority, and unless you know how to balance out your own authority, unless you plant your own trees in your own garden, and you tell yourself you can't touch. That's what happens in a marriage when you get solicited by somebody else, and you say, I can't, I'm married. Well, you can, you don't have to tell her. No, I can't. Because I am enslaved to her. Because I have been put there to keep her. To protect. To preserve. To give my life for. I had some people years ago. They're like, oh, Rev, you should go to South Carolina Star Church. We would come there. First of all, no, you won't come here 5 minutes away. You won't go there. That's for sure. I mean, I don't know if I got idiot written in my forehead, but I'm not dumb. You can't flatter me. But secondly, I said to them, I can't. Why not? Because God won't let me go. Oh, why? God wants churches there too. See, when you want something, you'll justify anything. I said, no, this is where God put me. This is my garden. And this is where I have to stay. Could you imagine what would happen to the churches in America if God put you in a garden and you said, I can't leave even if I want to? Your church. So the higher the office, the greater the struggle. I'm trying to really lay this out for you. 1 Corinthians 7 and 3 and 4. See, we live and we act as if we have authority over our own lives and our own bodies. It's the same spirit that caused Eve to partake of the fruit and then Adam to partake with her. Because at some point, you decide, well, maybe that authority doesn't matter. Maybe that word doesn't matter. And so it says this. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Next verse. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. You see, God, in the beginning, when he established this system, if you please, he said, in a marriage, nobody has power over themselves. We have authority over each other. Why? Because if God were not to establish that system, we would all corrupt ourselves by taking more authority than what we should. We would partake from trees that we should not partake of. So God said, woman, you don't have power over your own body. The husband does. Husband, you don't have power over your own body. The wife does. You have to understand what God is trying to do. And so, if we have complete power and authority over our own lives, if there were not a thou shalt not in my life, we would absolutely destroy ourselves. And when Adam and Eve removed themselves from the thou shalt not, and when they took from the tree they should not have, and they died, their death, their innocence died, and with them, the garden, everything went with it, and now their life was changed forever. God, help me, because when we partake of that which we should not, it sends our life into a tailspin, and we wind up never somewhere we never thought we would be, and our walk with God never looks the same again. I didn't say God can't restore. I'm not preaching about restoration today. I said we wind up somewhere we never intended to be, because that's what happens when you overlook the thou shalt nots of your life.
Thank you to that one person that really appreciated that.
And so we are on dangerous ground when we have no authority, when we have no pastor, we have no church, and when we live like it. Now watch. I'm going to read you Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, some of the most unsavorable verses in the Bible. People don't like them. You probably got it blacked out in your scripture, so don't worry about it. I'll put it on the screen. I don't think I gave those to you, but we're going to put them up anyway. Hebrews 13, 7 is the first one. You're giving me a thumbs up, but I don't see it. There we go. Remember them which have the rule over you. So that means somebody has spiritual authority in our lives. If you don't have a pastor, you have no spiritual authority. You can't pick your authority. That doesn't work. There's no Bible. And listen to me. You can't call them pastor and say they're your pastor if they have no authority in your life. Listen, this is not an attempt to grasp at something here. That's not what we want. That's not what a pastor wants. A pastor just wants to be a good shepherd. That's it. So he says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That means when you make decisions in your life, let me see, what did pastor say about that? Now, I don't like preaching this kind of stuff, but I had to put it in here. And I can already feel getting tight with some of y'all, getting tight. And I don't have to, it's my life. I can make my own decisions. I know that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm preaching about. You have no problem partaking of trees that you shouldn't partake of. God puts something in our lives to keep us from destroying ourselves. There's a tree everywhere you look that God says thou shalt not. And then verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Do you know what that word obey means? It literally means when you obey, it's evidence of authority in your life. When we submit ourselves to authority that God has placed in our life, not God-like authority, not rulers or dictators, spiritual authority. When we do that, it's obey means there's evidence of authority in your life when you obey. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give account. That I'm going to tell God, I'm like, hey, God, I tried with her. She's stubborn. She wouldn't listen. Don't hold me responsible for her. I did everything I could. She came and go as she pleased. She didn't listen to one bit of instruction I gave her. I tried to challenge, I tried to warn her of that. She didn't listen, or he, whoever it was. I'm going to be like, God, hey, you got the record. You know I tried. But God says that those men have to give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. And so there, that word obey, that is evidence of authority in our lives. That's the tree. Something has to supersede my will and my wishes if God is to do all that he purposes to do in my life. And so that's why the scriptures that I read to you just now, that's why God put authority in the marriage. Here's another one that you might struggle with, but I want to try and shed some light on it for you. 1 Corinthians 11 and 10. When it talks about a woman's hair being her covering, that's the word, that's not me. So here's what it says. But in verse 10, it says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a perspective to look at this at, all right? First of all, God is the head of the man is the head of the woman. It's Bible, all right? Okay. So her hair is a typology of her covering. Her husband is to be her covering. Now, watch. So let me read it to you in the Amplified. It might help you a little bit. Therefore, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. She has to have a sign of authority, a sign of covering over her for the sake of the angels. Now, watch. Because angels themselves submit to God, and this sign of authority over her head means that we as Christians should also model similar respect for God's divine order. That's the purpose of it. And so a woman's hair, if you please, being her covering, it's a sign that she has authority over her. Not that she is the authority. You can't be an authority to yourself. I just read it to you. You cannot be an authority to yourself. There's got to be an authority over every one of us. And I understand the world we lived in. We live in now a world where everybody's suspicious. A world where some people have been hurt. Some people have been abused. Sometimes that authority has been abused. But that does not change God's system. Just because people abuse authority doesn't change the way God established it. And I know that's why a lot of women are the way they are, because they've had relationships where men have abused that authority. I understand that. I'm not condoning that at all, but that doesn't change God's system. In the marriage, he said to the woman, you don't have control over your body. He does, and man, you don't have control over your body. She does. Nobody's going to dominate their own life. And then he says, when he talks about this authority with the woman and her covering, because her hair, her covering, her husband is her covering. And so that's a representation, if you please. And he says, and it says that the woman ought to have a sign. There should be a sign of authority over her. A sign that says, I have a covering. I have a covering. All right. I realize that's too difficult and too deep maybe, so we'll move on to the next point. Prior to the flood, there were no thou shalt nots. Gardens closed down, God shut the doors, he put a do not enter sign in the front. Now man's just making their way through life, and here we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, because there were no thou shalt nots. There were no trees.
And so the Bible says in verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took to them wives of all that they chose. Now, don't move beyond that. We're going to go to verse 11 in a moment. They took them wives of all that they chose. So let me simplify that for you. They decided, she's good for me. Don't worry about the fact that she don't even believe what you believe. Don't worry about the fact that you're supposed to be a child of God and she's of a family of heathens. Doesn't matter. See, we just do what we want. They just did what they wanted. That's what it is. Just did what they wanted. No governing authority in their lives. Just did what they wanted. And so go to verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Next. And God looked upon the earth and said, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Pause there. Listen, sin doesn't show up one day and say, I'm destroying your life. We corrupt our own way. And how do we corrupt our own way? When there's no authority in our lives. When there's no thou shalt nots. And we will self-destruct every time. And because there was no law, and there was no more garden, and there was no more tree, all that was passed at this point. It didn't take long for humankind. What was this? I think it was a couple thousand years, if that. I don't remember the exact timeline, so if I'm off, forgive me. It wasn't long on the grand scale of life. They corrupted their own way. Go to the next verse. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence for through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So watch. When the world became lawless, the law showed back up. God said, everything's lawless, everything's chaos, and he showed up, and his authority was, I have the authority to destroy that which I've created, and I'm going to do it. God is the only one that's an authority to himself. Is this too hard? Am I doing an okay job, Brother Klein? And so God had to destroy rebellion because man had corrupted their own way. So to prevent this, God exercised his authority to bring mankind back into alignment. Now listen to me. Hang with me if I'm boring you. That's what the preach word of God does. It exercises the authority of God to bring us back into alignment. That's why the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It brings the believers back into alignment when we begin to corrupt ourselves off of our own ways. Maybe you stop being accountable. Maybe you stop listening. Maybe you're just talking to everybody else during the preaching and you don't really pay attention, especially when it gets heavy and you don't really like what you're hearing. That's a great time to talk to somebody. That's a great time to go to the restroom. It's a great time. We want to, you know, I don't really feel like that. So I just, you know what I'm saying? Are you with me? And so that's what the preach word does. That's why the preach word is so important in our lives, because it brings us back into alignment as we begin to slip out of God's plan and his will for our lives. Your body, Bible says, it's not yours. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. So watch. So God gave you this body, but he gave you this temple to dress it and to keep it. To enslave yourself to it, to protect it, to preserve it, not to destroy it, even though you can, not to cut it up, even though you can, not to mark it up, even though you can, not to pierce it up, even though you can. He gave you this body as the temple of the Holy. But how many of us ever wake up and think, God, how would you like me to treat the temple today? How will you care for the temple that God has given you? How will you care for this wife? How will you care for your husband? How will you care for your children? How will you care for your home? I believe what God gives us, we should take care of. If you have a car, wash the dumb thing. Change the oil. Don't go 9,000 miles, you don't change your oil, and then you whine to God. Why am I being so oppressed, God? My car blew up because you didn't change the, you didn't tend to it, and you didn't keep it.
You didn't protect what God gave you to preserve it. You beat on it. You destroyed it. How will you care for your home? So God knew if he gave Adam complete authority, he would corrupt his own way. So God put a tree. Am I boring you? So God put a tree to stand between him and total self-destruction. Unlimited authority makes you a god to yourself. That's where idolatry is born. When we will not be subject to those whom God has placed as spiritual authorities in our lives, we become idolaters. We become gods to our... Nobody rules me. I rule myself. Now, nobody wants to rule you. Just trust me on that one. Trust me. But when we have authority, when we have... That's what the covering is. We willfully subject ourselves. Place. I call my bishop... I call several men all the time. All the time. All the time. And I take their word as the gospel. I do. Every pastor has to have authority in their life. Every pastor I've ever seen backslide or fall away from truth, they had no covering, no authority, because they became a god to themselves. So unlimited authority makes you a god to yourself and an idol. Now, Jesus, honey, can you play for me? You might be playing for a while. I'll try to hurry. Actually, you might want to just sit there, and then I'll summons you. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, honey. Don't tell me. I lost my place. So just as God brought the flood, he had to exercise authority because the world had corrupted her own way. Once again, we did it. And even though we had the law, God brought... Why do you think the law came into Israel? It wasn't just 10 commandments, folks. There's 9-10 chapters of living. How you should eat, what you should wear. I'm not talking, God didn't say wear polka dot dresses. I'm not talking about that. How you should act, what you should touch, what you shouldn't touch, what was clean, what wasn't. You know what I'm talking about. Your kids walk down and sit at the dinner table, would you wash your hands? Oh, look, my hands are clean. Just because you don't see dirt doesn't mean they're not clean. Wash your hands. Oh, isn't that funny how we as parents like exercising authority, but we don't like authority? Kids better listen to us. I'm dad. I'm mom. Pastor gets up and preaches. That's just your opinion. How would you feel? You might want to get ready to play. No, just not you. Oh, you can sit now. Yes, play. I forgot. You got a stool. How would you feel? Watch this. And this is not the context of my message, but how would you feel if our kids did to us what we do to the preacher sometimes? You need to wash your hands. Well, that's your opinion, not mine. Son, you need to be home by a certain time. What does it matter? I mean, you can't tell me that I'm not going to be safe just because I'm home at 9 instead of 8. You can't tell me, well, honey, if you want God, you need to pray. It's my prayer life. You let me worry about that. Or better yet, midnight, 1 a.m. to ring, 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 ring. Where are you at? I'll be home. When? When I'm ready. Well, why didn't you call me? I don't have to call you. I can handle myself. I don't need to be accountable. I don't need to be responsible. Watch. Listen. I wish you would hear me what I'm trying to say to you. We're not talking about anybody ruling. We're saying there's got to be a tree in everybody's life that stops me from wrecking myself and taking complete authority over my own life. And there's got to be somebody. There's got to be a voice. There's got to be a level of accountability. That's my tree. That's my tree. That's my safety net. Something that stops me dead in my tracks if I'm going too far. And so, because we are who we are, Jesus, thank God, exercised his authority yet once again. But this time he didn't destroy the earth. This time he went and he did what? Because we are his garden. And he was sent here to dress it and to keep it, to protect and to preserve. He came to Calvary and he gave his life. He had to die in order to give us a chance to be freed from our own folly, from our own foolishness, from our own arrogance, from our own recklessness. But he had authority over death, and so he exercised it. And he said to death, I will not let you claim that which is mine. He had the authority to die to set us free. But his cross brings upon us a cross for ourselves. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Take the yoke of authority upon yourself now, just like I took the yoke of authority upon myself. He said, I gave my life for you. How about you give your life for somebody else? So God puts trees in our gardens. He gave us a life to do with what we would. You have the choice. You can wake up at 3 a.m. or 2 p.m. You can work half day, all day, or you can just be lazy. If you want to abuse your body, you can do it. Put garbage in your body, you can do it. Drink whatever you want. Smoke whatever you want. You can do it. But if you do some things, the reason we have scripture about our bodies and the temple is to remind us that we will ruin our life if we step out of God's will, if we do some of those thou shalt nots that he wrote on those tablets. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't because God wanted to be a supreme. See, even God, in all of his authority, doesn't just want to be a dictator. He never has been. God could just make us all slaves and servants if he wanted to. But no, we know what he did? He just gives us a law. He says, here you go. If you want to be mine, just live by this. Apply this to your life. This is your tree. And there's a lot of branches. But it's not to be a dictator. It's to protect us, to keep us, to preserve us until his coming, until he takes us out of this world. I love our Constitution. I genuinely do. I believe the Constitution of the United States is a living, breathing document. I believe God put some of the wisest men on earth at that time to write this Constitution. When I read it and I see the things, it's mind-blowing. They had so much foresight, it was frightening. Frightening. And our Constitution guarantees, I hope I'm not going too long, I'm trying to hurry. It guarantees freedom of speech. That doesn't mean I should be free with all my speech. Just because I can. All things might be lawful, but all things aren't beneficial. Just because it might be legal doesn't mean it's okay, doesn't mean it's safe, doesn't mean it won't wreck or hurt somebody else. And I'm supposed to care if I hurt somebody else, not just myself. I'm supposed to care if my words are damaging and destructive. Whew. And so the word tells us of all these thou shalt nots. It might be legal, but doesn't mean it's helpful. Doesn't mean it's beneficial to the kingdom. Doesn't mean it portrays the love of God. It doesn't mean that it shows Christ in us. So, if we allow the scripture to give us some thou shalt nots to protect us, if we allow those thou shalt nots to be applied to our lives. There are also, interestingly enough, sometimes, I don't know what you would call it. I guess you'd call it, sometimes those thou shalt nots, because sometimes it's kind of like an oxymoron association with them. Meaning like you have some thou shalts, like you shall work 6 days. Thou shalt not be lazy. Doesn't say thou shalt not be lazy, but it says you should work 6 days. God wants us to work. Why? Because the busier you are, the less likely you are to fall into temptation. It's people sitting at home on the computer all day long. They're all over pornography. Woo. He said, watch what you eat. Now I know what I know what Paul said, or what Peter saw in the vision. I know that nothing we can eat. Listen, thank God. Yesterday for breakfast, my wife and I, we ate breakfast before we went to our meeting. I had bacon, sausage links, sausage gravy. I thought, God, if I'm Jewish, I'm going to hell. I like pork. That's just the bottom line. But we got an elder minister. His name's John Lehman. He's 90-some years old now. You'd think he was 70. I said, Brother Lehman, I said, what is your secret? You look so good. You move so good. He said, I've always eaten a strictly according to the Bible. Now, the scripture tells us now that if God gave it to you, it's not unclean. But there was a reason he told the Jews not to eat it. To protect them, to preserve their body from things. I don't know. I understand you won't go to hell for drinking all that Red Bull, but you might destroy your body. I understand you might not go to hell for one beer, but boy, it might destroy your witness. I understand smoking might not send you to hell. And I don't know what you all believe. I don't believe that God sent everybody to hell just because they got a little bit of bondage in their life. But I believe he wants us to be free from it. But boy, oh boy, one thing I do know is it sure doesn't smell good to my witness. You walk by a Christian, you smell a cigarette smoke. Hey, it's been a long time since I said anything about cigarette smoke, so you better cut me a lot of slack. I could go further. I understand grace. I thank God for grace. I stand here because of grace and mercy. Listen, I feel like Paul. I've stood up in the midst of ministers and I said, hey, I'm the least of all of you, and that's the way I genuinely feel. But I also don't want to abuse that grace and don't want to just be reckless with my decisions because I put it under the blood. Well, maybe I haven't put it under the blood if I'm still living it. And maybe I would rather be a good witness for the gospel than I would partake of some things that I shouldn't. I've got to hurry. So we embrace the word of God and we apply it liberally to our lives. Why? Because it is one big tree with a whole lot of branches, and it's not bondage. It doesn't make me a slave, if you please. No, it protects me. That tree, Adam, is in the middle of that garden to teach you cannot have total dominion and authority in your life, that you've got to be accountable to something, to somebody. You can't just take everything and anything. I'll give you all this. My flesh wants things, but the word says, thou shalt not. I don't want to destroy myself. I don't want to ruin this beautiful garden, my life that God gave me. I'm not talking about home and decor, what you drive and all that stuff. We put all the stock in those things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking of God's perfect will, and it is perfect. His will is not cumbersome. It's not restrictive. It's not bondage. I love God's word. I love the thou shalt not. I love thou shalt not commit adultery, because I'm married to one of the greatest people on the face of the earth, and I would never want to hurt her that way. I love the thou shalt not steal, because I don't want to take what somebody else has worked hard for. I don't want to be that kind of person. I love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. I love that because I want God to be everything to me, not just something when I need him. Everything. I want him to be everything to me. That's what I want God to be. Everything. I love, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, because that's vile. That's stinky. God. For some of those thou shalt nots. Galatians 5:3, I'm coming to an end. 5:13, I'm sorry, you don't have that one either. My last scripture, Galatians 5:13, you've been patient with me, thank you. I need some serious Advil. My sinuses are kicking me in the head. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Huh. Liberty and serve, all in the same sentence. But serving doesn't sound like liberty. Doesn't liberty mean just get up and do what I want today, go wherever I want to go, spend whatever I want to spend? Isn't that what liberty means? Isn't that what it means to be American? No, that's not what our founders intended at all. Our founders gave their life so we could have this liberty. They gave their lives. That's what our military is. People that are willing to put their life on the line and give their life for the freedom that we enjoy. And that's not so I can have a cookout on Memorial Day. No. It's so I can thank God for my cookout on Memorial Day and thank God for the liberty. But that a liberty, watch, you've been called unto liberty, but don't use liberty for the flesh. You wake up and God is not going to stand beside you and say, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No, you know what he wants? He wants you to pick it up and say, okay, God, what shall I not today? Or what shall I? Give me something. Give me your word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give me your word today. Whatever it is, give it to me. I want it in my life. I want it to guide my day. I want it to guide my decisions. And he says, and use that liberty to serve, to dress, and to keep. Adam, I've given you the liberty of the garden. But I want you to dress it and to keep it. I want you to enslave yourself to it. I want you to make it yours, make it your responsibility. The Galatians are the ones that begun to think they could be perfected in the flesh even though they began in the spirit. These are the people that thought, I don't need the Holy Ghost anymore. These are the people that thought they don't need God to continue to grow in within them and to grow them, that now they could do things all on their own. They didn't have to be as committed. They didn't have to pray as much as they used to. They didn't have to fast like they used to. They didn't have to read the Bible every day. Well, God's not going to send me to hell because I don't read the Bible every day. Oh, no, he probably won't. That's where grace and mercy come in. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't eat the bread of life every day, you will die. You will have no desire to be holy, to be righteous. You'll have no desire to live righteously. That's what the bread of life, it puts life in us. It keeps us from self-destructing. So, I'm finishing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the thou shalt nots of my life. Thank you for leaving me, for not leaving me at my sin, for not leaving me at my folly. Thank you for your word, your laws. It's only through God's authority that we really are set free. Isn't that amazing? It's through his authority, his dominion over death and the grave that gave me freedom and life. So somebody had to enslave themselves to something in order for me to have this liberty and freedom that I have. So I should always remember that. And then I now want to enslave myself to my garden. It's through God's authority that we will stay free. And so from time to time, we need authority and dominion over some things, but not everything. From time to time, I need God to remind me, not good for you. What looks good, tastes good, smells good. You notice all that candy that looks good, tastes good, and smells good? What am I saying to you? I don't know. What am I saying to you? I don't know. I just know this. Let's not wreck our lives with the liberty that God has given us. But let's renew our commitment to the Lord and say, God, you gave me this garden that I call my life. I'm going to dress it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to make myself a servant to it. I'm going to bind myself to it like Paul bound himself to the gospel and called himself a slave to the Lord, a prisoner of Jesus Christ by choice. See, that's what Paul was saying. He was saying, you gave me this life, God. You gave me this garden. I'm going to dress it. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect this gospel with my life. If it costs me my life, I will die. Every single one save one died for the truth rather than capitulate or compromise, because truth means that much. Because only truth has the power to set us free. Only truth can give us the true peace and the joy that we look for, we desire, we try to buy, we try to find, and we find it. Would you stand with me? When we build the new church, we're putting a Starbucks in it. Can I ask you a question? Only respond. Do you feel at all what I'm trying to say to you today? The older I get, Brother Ken, the more obligated I feel to God's great kingdom. The more obligated I feel to God's great people. Do you know why I have a hard time letting some of y'all go? Because I feel like I have a commission to dress and to keep this garden. And you're a part of it. And I feel I'm responsible for you. And so I have a hard time. I love you. I know the Lord loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to give his life to prove it. Boy, that demands something from me. If I could understand, would you close your eyes just for a moment? If I could just get a brief glimpse and an understanding of the authority that you exercised over death, hell, and the grave. But in exercising that authority, you willfully died, paid a high price, suffered a great deal, but you didn't lament it. You didn't complain about taking care of your family. You didn't complain about having to go to work. You did it because you loved that much. I want to love that much, God. I want to love so much that I don't complain if you ask for every moment of my day. I want to love so much that I don't complain if we're asking for help at the next outreach event. I want to love so much, God, that I want to be a part of everything that you're doing. I want to do it with joy and not grief, for that is unprofitable for me. Lord, let this, I pray, let it settle where it must this morning in every person's life. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for that tree, that lone tree that stood in the midst of that beautiful garden. It was not a statement of anything other than, I've given you a great life. Don't wreck it. There must be some things in your life that you cannot just have or take. There must be some things that you walk by, even though it presents itself to you with open arms. Sin will present itself to you. It will wrap itself up in a box with a pretty little bow and look so good. It will smell so good. It will even taste so good, but it's still sin at its core. And so I need God to speak a thou shalt not to my life. Colin was telling me this morning, I don't know, he's out teaching. Keep your eyes closed if you don't mind, just for a moment. He said, I was praying this morning and I said, God, I hate this season of my life. And he said, without even batting an eye, and so I knew it was the Lord because of the way he said it, because that's exactly what God does to me. He said, without batting an eye, God said, David didn't like his season in the cave either. I got chills. I said, woo, that was God. That was God. Yeah, God didn't give David a mansion. Everything wasn't just a bed of roses. God had to teach David. There's some things, David, that you've got to do, some things you've got to change before I can give you complete authority, because you won't know how to handle it. Father, help us this morning. Help us, God, learn how to govern our lives with grace, Lord, with respect, with honor, with servanthood, with dignity. Help us, God, learn how to govern our lives. You don't stand over our shoulders. We shouldn't have to stand over everybody else. God, teach my children how to govern their life without wrecking their life. And there will be times that a tree will show up in their life and they're going to have to remember this simple thought today. No, thou shalt not that. No, no, sir. That's going to upset everything God is doing in my life. That's going to destroy my witness. It's going to give people a reason to say things they shouldn't about the gospel, about the kingdom. Father, help us, I pray. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can pray where you are. You can just meditate. You can come, whatever you want to do. Oh God, thank you for the thou shalt nots. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing
Jesus.
We want more.
I know this isn't easy for us, God. Some things just work
Holy
against our flesh.
Spirit,
help us this morning to let go. Help us, God, to trust you just a little more. If there have been things that have hurt us in our past that have hurt our trust, our faith, God, our willingness to trust others. God, release us from that this morning. Release us from it, I pray, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Holy Spirit, break us. Come and
I pray every man in this place today will joyfully submit themselves to your will, to your word. It's harder for us, God, because we're men. We're used to taking control. God, you put it in us to dress it and to keep it. But sometimes we've got to turn it over to you. Sometimes we got to know when to get on our knees and pray. Sometimes we got to know just when to call out to God and let him be the authority and not me. Oh, Father, let it be, I pray, according to your word and your will, Jesus.
There is nothing we want more. In Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Yes, Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, lead us. Your heart, oh Jesus, there is nothing we want more. Teach us how to live beyond ourselves. Let everything we say and do bring glory to your name. And bless your heart. God, show us how to love like you. 'Cause we want more. We want more. We want pride and selfishness. Take me back to my first love. I'm falling on my knees. Now I confess that you will always be.
They're going to keep singing. You can keep praying. We have a baptism in just a couple minutes.
We want more. tide decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me, oh I. And I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me, yes I. And I decrease as you increase. It's all about. It's not about me, oh I decrease as you increase. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. It's not about me. And Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Yes, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. And Holy Spirit, to your heart, oh Jesus, there is nothing we want more.
Isn't God so good? He's so good. God's been so good to me. Got a lot of great things, exciting things happening. Got two babies getting ready to be born. Got a wedding this weekend. David's only waited a long time. It's about time someone took him. Got an engagement just happened this week. Chantel's been waiting a long time. About time someone took her. Got a wedding next September. My own flesh and blood. Excited about that. We are more than happy to receive Brenna into our family. Now, her dad's here today. I don't know if he wants us to receive her, but we're taking her. I'm just going to let you know right now. I know you're bigger than me, but I got a lot more help here than you do. I just thank God. He's so good. And we just pray for everybody and everything that God is doing something with. Cadence, is that camera still on? Oh, I need to kill it. Please. I'm not worried about the audio for now, but the camera, we want to forgive us if you're watching live, but we're gonna cut the live stream. Let me know when that thing is officially off. So, you know, Cadence is getting baptized, and, you know, there's a hearing coming up for Braden, Cadence, and Ty, and we need to be in prayer about that. She wanted to get baptized. I guess she never was, and there she is. She's ready. Go ahead and help her in. Someone help her in. We'll get her ready. We're excited to baptize her. Brother Jerome, I want him to come pray. Is he here?